Blog Talk Radio.
Is this a trick? Or this is a treat? The world may never know. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back after a month and a half, or God knows how long we've been gone. We are back to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the man who always has a plan, the master of disaster, the God himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, for the last 8 years, I've been bashing him. But this year, I'm going to treat him a little bit different. Sorry, that was a trick. Ladies and gentlemen, I give that scumbag himself, Sean Black.
Good Lord.
What?
We have to go through this now. Almost 8 years of going through this craziness, and it's the same thing. As they say, same crap, different toilet.
So, yes,
Sean Black is in the building once again. And dealing with another episode of the Hot Rod, full of himself.
Yes.
Once again.
If I treat you good, it would not be me. I'd be lying. That means I'd be a politician. I'm not you. I cannot lie like you, okay?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What?
Me a politician, please.
Well, you are full of crap. Well, guys, you know the number, 347. Is it 347? 989-8402? I don't remember.
It's funny. The fans should know the number, but the co-host of the show doesn't. That shows you something.
I've been sober for a while now, okay? I've been sober for about, what time is it? About 18 hours now, so give me a break.
Wow.
Well, guys.
Are you going for some kind of record? I mean, it's been quite some time since I remember hearing you say you've been sober that long. So,
yes. Hey, this is a new season, new me. Oh, wink, wink, wink. But all right, let's get right into it. There's so much that happened in the last 2 months. What I want to address is Sean is a big social media fan, and he was very happy when his news broke out on Thursday that his boy, Elon Musk, the Musky man himself, finally bought Twitter, and now he's in control of Twitter. And the first thing, within minutes, that Elon did, he's fired the three top dogs, the three top executives, of Twitter. Kick them out. Give them the boot. Adios. Goodbye. Don't come back. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Sean Black, well, I know you're going to address the Twitter, Donald Trump, and this is a big thing that's happening for Twitter, but something good, something better, or something worse, or we don't know yet.
I'm of the mindset to think that this could potentially be good, but in the long run, I don't think it's going to be. And the reason why I say that is we've done shows on the state of social media, whether it's on Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, et cetera, and we've talked about how social media has its good points, but it also has its bad points. And we all know that social media has done a lot, especially within the last few years, of negatively impacting certain aspects of society, whether it's been cyberbullying or influencing of elections, online violence. Those kinds of things have been pretty much a harbinger of what to look at going forward when it comes to social media. So when we heard the news that social media, which we knew about months ago, that Elon Musk was going to buy Twitter, but then he backed out of it, and most of it, his reasoning was that it was the bots that kind of inhabit the Twitter sphere. Those are the nameless robots that you normally hear about, people messing with the algorithm of the social media landscape. He wanted to make sure that all of that was cleared out before he bought it, so then he backed out of it. What I have interest in, since I don't follow social media at all, contrary to what Hot Rush said in the opening, what I have an interest in is how this change is going to actually be looked at for other people that are social media followers. People like you, other people that I know, celebrities, journalists, politicians going forward. What's going to happen with a place exactly like Twitter, where Elon Musk said he would like to have to be more of kind of like a town hall where you can go out and say whatever you can and have your speech be free and unfeathered, untethered, and be able to speak your mind. The difference is, although freedom of speech does exist in the United States of America as the First Amendment, Twitter is a public is a privately owned company. So what is going to happen to those people that were banned from Twitter, those that have said hate speech, things that have gone negatively, and we've seen in the news over the last few weeks things that have happened on Twitter that have led to violence? How is that going to be taken into account, and what do they plan on doing going forward with that?
Well, remember, Twitter was dying at one time years ago because it was one of the first social media platforms that came out, and everybody went crazy. But Twitter became successful because it was following your favorite celebrity at that time or your favorite chef or whatever, someone famous. Now, of course, just like any other social media platform, it evolved. But one person may put Twitter on the map again. And yes, I'm going there, Sean. Like, is your favorite president of the United States of America, Mr. Donald Trump? Yes.
Well,
wow, we have that.
There's your disclaimer. There's the hot rod on the liquid courage again.
Of course. You know,
but I will
Donald
agree.
Trump.
Yeah, I will agree with the fact that with the former president, he basically made Twitter. He carried Twitter on his back with a lot of the things that he said, a lot of the things that he did. And now, since he had been banned from Twitter, Elon Musk has already stated that people that previously were banned may be unbanned. We don't know what – first of all, once this whole thing goes through, we don't know what the policies going forward are going to be on Twitter. So we don't know what Elon Musk is going to do, what is going to be too egregious even for Twitter, and even more so, the impact on somebody like Elon Musk owning Twitter, and then what's going to happen. Because you talked about before, the former president and a lot of the things that he said on Twitter, which led to a lot of things happening negatively. We've on our show talked about some of the daily stuff or the weekly stuff that happened while he was in office and on Twitter, and some of those things that were egregiously off kilter, and in a lot of instances attacking certain people.
Well, that is your opinion. Some people would say, of course, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you, but some people say that Donald Trump was the one greatest of all time, but that's the only way you could get sources, quote unquote, of information out. Donald Trump was one of very few or first politicians that spoke, quote, in quotations, his mind, who told it like it is, you know. The spill, you know what I mean, may be garbage for the most part. But like, wow, this is the president of the United States calling Sean Black an a-hole? Can he do this? Can he say this? Like, wow. It came to a point I followed Donald Trump at one time, and it was blowing up. And it made you ask yourself, is Donald Trump acting as a president, or he's a Twitter guy? You know, he had too much time to be on Twitter to do all this writing. And you could tell it was his writing or his saying with the way he speaks. He speaks to what he writes, that's for sure. And whatever information they spit out there, like, I'm just saying, for example, Sean Black is telling lies, he's fake news. Even though it may not be true, Sean Black, he will still have 38 million people that believe that single quote from Donald Trump. And that's a crazy
That's the influence of Twitter. And that's the danger of social media. As I said before, there are lots of positive things about social media out there where people can network and talk, assemble in groups, and they can talk about positive things, get other news out, certain things along those lines. But then, as we said before, and we've been talking about this ad nauseum, is that Twitter has been abused by so many people to spread so many falsehoods, misinformation, and negativity. And as I said also, cyberbullying. How many people have we talked about in the news over the years? Somebody went on Twitter and attacked somebody, and then something happened later on and found out that that person, unfortunately, committed suicide. Or it led to some violence towards somebody where somebody started some kind of movement or said something on Twitter, and then it gained a following and then turned violent or went the wrong way. And these are the kinds of things that social media, any social media platform, has to look forward to, which is very hard to police. But those are the kinds of responsibilities that have to be looked at when you run a social media platform.
Well, before I get into Phil, Sean, in other words, do you feel that Elon Musk should give Donald Trump Twitter again?
No. And the reason why I say that is, I will say it in this sense. Freedom of speech is a right in this country. But freedom of speech does not mean you are free of consequences. And in this country, you are protected by the First Amendment. That does not give you the right to go on a privately owned platform and espouse things that are untrue or that can be looked at as bullying or going towards violence. And those things cannot be governed, for the most part, under free speech unless there are certain checks and balances to make sure. If somebody violates a code of conduct on a privately owned platform, you are under the guise and the rules of that particular platform. It doesn't necessarily mean it may agree with the First Amendment, but those are the kinds of things that happen in that sphere. And those are the kinds of things that are going to be checked in going forward if we come to this kind of a situation in the near future.
Well, Phil, the first next question, do you see yourself following Donald Trump again if he gets Twitter back?
No, not at all. I think, you know, with all the stuff that has come out on him, I mean, it's only a matter of time before I think he's going to have to face consequences.
Consequences for what, January 6th?
Yeah, that's going to be a big part of it. You know, January the 6th, him trying to overturn the election. You know, he just put himself in a very, very bad position. And it is what it is. I never followed Donald Trump on Twitter. I mean, usually when it comes to Twitter, you know me. I mean, I usually follow the sports aspect. I mean, I follow SNY. You got to see how many notifications I get a day from SNY regarding the Jets, the Giants, the Mets, the Yankees. I mean, maybe, you know, a couple of wrestlers here, there, you know. But I as far as politics, you know, as politicians, I really don't follow anybody on there because like you were saying with the code of conduct and everything, I don't want to get into politics with people. I try to avoid politics if I can, because once you start an argument with somebody, and I've seen this, you know, whether it comes about the president or Donald Trump, once people start disagreeing about politics, it gets ugly. And, you know, it could take two best friends that have been friends for years and turn them into bitter enemies over because of some cause of politics. Because one doesn't like this guy, one doesn't like that guy. It's ridiculous.
The three topics that you were always taught that would always cause consternation between people: religion, abortion, politics. Those, when you were younger, you were always taught those were the three topics that you never talked about, because if you did, you ran the risk of either saying the wrong thing or saying the right thing to the wrong person. And that's what it was.
Yeah, but overall, but guys, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, give or take.
That's correct.
When I found out K-Dog was a big Trump supporter, that didn't change my mind of him. I'm like, if you support Donald Trump, that's your business, you know. I mean, I agree with it. But overall, we all know K-Dog is full of it. They like Donald Trump, and that's why he's on the line right now to tell us why he can't wait to follow Donald Trump again on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness. Good evening. Wow. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
After Cato,
Donald
I'll
Trump could go
quarter.
Suck a dick anyway, like I was saying.
Whoa.
Hey, man,
I guess it's safe to say we're back on the air, huh?
Yeah. No, we're back on the air.
Now,
listen here. Like a lot of people, I was listening to one guy talk about it. They say Elon Musk's new plan could destroy Twitter. And let me tell you something. Things are about to get hot on that platform, because you know why? So far, some celebrities already terminated their Twitter accounts because they don't want to be part of it. Since you're saying it's a free-for-all, true, there is free speech. And you know what that's going to give way to? More hate speech on Twitter. You're going to see a whole lot of it, because so far what they said is that so far, there's been 500,000 people already on Twitter using racist epithets on there. Plenty of them. And as for the disgraced former leader, I'm not even going to say president because I never called him president. He used that platform in the worst kind of way, and his platform did not bring unity. It didn't bring peace. As a matter of fact, the people that he fired up were mostly the same racist idiots who were voicing things from. And Phil, how you doing, man?
I'm sorry, K-Dog. You say all this, but it brought attention. It brought awareness.
No, it did, but you know
fire.
What? But the kind of attention... But the kind of attention that it brought up, Hot Rod, was the wrong kind of attention. You understand? The wrong kind of attention.
Was it?
Like you said, Sean.
Remember, did you say
when
yourself,
it comes to politics,
you say yourself, Kato, excuse me, Kato, you say to yourself a long time ago, many times, that Donald Trump opened the door. They've been racist people for a long time. Everybody's coming out of World War or something. So
he
didn't open the door. But these people have been racist for a long time.
No, they have been.
Said.
No, he didn't make them racist. They've been hiding for a long time, and now they feel the need to come out more. Now, when you attract the wrong kind of attention, and like you said earlier, Sean, when it comes down to politics, it can cause a mess. Why? Division. You may not like that person, but somebody else does. You may not agree with that other person's politics, but somebody else does. It could be your
exactly.
It could be a friend or family. And you know what? I've seen more division amongst friends, because even at work, they're telling people not to discuss anything political or religious at work, because you can't do that, because it could cause a conflict.
That's everywhere. Even where I work at Walmart, you know, that's against the rules to talk about politics.
Yeah, you can't. At my job, they don't want politics at all, because I already know that some of them, I already know who's a Republican and who's a Democrat and who's an independent.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we have 3146. You on the air.
Well, I'm a supporter of Donald Trump and his policies.
No kidding.
And I'm not black because Joe Jim Crow Biden said I wasn't black because I didn't vote for him.
So the policies
I support. And you know, let me tell you something. The biggest races I ever been around are really blacks. You take some of these cities, like Chicago, from Memorial Day to Memorial Day, keep in tab, 21, 19 to 20, 20 to 21, 21 to 22. And from 21 to 22, Memorial Day to Memorial Day, you have 4,666 blacks shot by other blacks with 643 murdered. No white police officer shot, not one. Now, you going to tell me that's not racism?
Sean Black will answer your statement. Go ahead.
North St. Louis, I know very well, North St. Louis. There ain't no whites in North St. Louis, North St. Louis County. You guys don't live there. I know you're at a disadvantage because you don't live there. I have relatives that live there. See? But
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt about that.
I know this area very, very well. You got three aldermen that's up for federal indictment. Lewis Reed, Jeffrey Boyd, and Robert Muhammad. You know what they up for indictment for? For taking bribes and used cars from Middle Eastern business owners. They was wired.
Okay. So in other words, you miss Donald Trump. That's what he's telling us right now?
I like Donald Trump. I'm going to tell you the policies I like. I like school choice with vouchers. I like the protection of American businesses, foreign imports like steel, where you had Granite City Steel to come back online. I like his idea of removing the regulations off of exploration of natural resources like gas and petroleum. And here's another thing. That is state land. Federal government has no business messing with state land. The states can tell the federal government to go to hell.
Okay, so...
border protection
so
is another one.
January 6th. Oh, no, how about January 6th? That wasn't Trump?
January
6th.
Donald Trump didn't have anything to do with that.
Oh,
and, you know, here's another thing about January 6th. Let me tell you about January 6th. You had some states, the five states, you know, you showing just exactly what I'm talking about. I'm black, I'm a conservative, and you're trying to keep me from talking.
Go ahead. Make a statement. Go ahead.
I'm a natural-born citizen, too, by the way. But as I said before, those states that wanted to recall their electors, according to the Constitution, when you have controversies between states, that was supposed to go back to the state, and the state legislature was supposed to work out those problems. Well, that's it.
Okay. Sean Black, anything like this?
And you know another thing, too. Another point I like about him is border protection. Very good.
Okay, but I have to give it to Sean Black now. He has to say something.
Okay. Well, first of all, this got way off of the topic of social media and what's going on with Twitter.
And I think Twitter's doing a good job, by the way. I went back to Twitter because I had left because of the censorship. Twitter and Facebook are what you call public accommodations. Just like you talk on the telephone. They are public accommodations. And for them to censor
the
people,
point.
What they say.
Let Sean talk now.
The point of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera. Although, as I said earlier in the show, the First Amendment right of freedom of speech is protected speech. Even to some degree, hate speech is protected speech. Libelous and slanderous and violent speech isn't. And these businesses like Instagram and Facebook and Twitter are privately owned companies. You have the choice, you have the right, the same way that you have the right as a conservative for whatever your political leanings are, whatever your opinions are, whatever you feel going forward as far as what you morally stand for, what you politically stand for, aligns in whoever you vote for. That's your God-given right to do that. The difference is when you get on a public platform like Twitter, no matter what the First Amendment tells you you can do, once you get on a platform like Twitter and they have policies in place to tell you you cannot say this, you cannot say that, you are literally beholden to the rules and regulations of that particular platform. Now, will Elon Musk change any of those? Because we don't know fully what he's going to do. He stated that he may unban people based on a case-to-case basis or whatever he wants to try to showcase as far as what he wants Twitter to be. The problem is in doing that, those that were banned, you're going to have to look at the reasoning behind why they were banned. And we're not talking about just because somebody didn't like a particular person or somebody said something bad about them that hurt their feelings. A lot of the people that have been banned have violated issues along the lines of race speak and misinformation. And regardless of whether you like that particular person or not, if that is the particular issue that they have within their policies, unless those policies get changed, those are the kinds of things that they're going to have to look at going forward. Look at what happened with Kanye West.
Hold on. I got to give it to Phil and K-Dog. Phil, go first, then I'll give it to K-Dog.
It's like I said, I don't know what Elon Musk is going to do with Twitter, but like I said it before, I'll say it again, I stay away from the political stuff. I just do it for the sports stuff. You do politics or religion, you know, you piss off the wrong person, it becomes World War 1,000,000. It's the same thing with Facebook. I avoid the drama.
With social media, why I go to social media.
Well, you know, if I could say something, I agree with what you just said.
Hold on. I'll give K-Dog then go back to you. Let K-Dog talk first, please.
All I got to say is this. When it comes to social media, I just go on there just to connect with people, connect with family members, and with my friends. That's all I do. But, you know, I don't believe in that, going ahead and talking about politics, it's dangerous because you know what? You're swimming in some shark-infested waters because you're going to get into a heap of trouble because you're going to make enemies real fast. That's why I don't get into it. And, you know, I mean, so people are free to support who they want to support, if they disagree with the person, do it in a respectful way. That doesn't mean that it has to result to violent acts. It doesn't have to result into getting into a fight with a person because everybody has their own set of beliefs. Just I respect yours, that's it.
All right, Corley, you have the last word until I move on to the next topic. Go ahead.
Well, everybody has their own belief. You're absolutely right. I agree with that. The gentleman before him that talked about free speech, I agree with him. The First Amendment applies to the government. It does not apply to private concerns. So when a person wears a T-shirt or wears a one of those buttons with something on it, like "Kiss me, I'm Irish," they have no business. I don't think they shouldn't be fired. But no, you're absolutely right. And I hope that Elon Musk, so far, I've been posting things on there that I wouldn't have posted before then. My deal is the war. One of my favorite war generals is George Patton and Robert E. Lee and Wilder and so on and so on, because they was American soldiers who fought in American wars. But other than that, gentlemen, see how nice and smooth this all ended? We yes. agree to respect because each other.
We agree to disagree. All right. Agree to disagree. Phil, I'll give this to you for one, because your boy, Kanye West, has been on the verge of pissing a lot of people off. They seem like he's being anti-Semitic, excuse me, anti-Semitic these days. Ooh, what was that?
I don't even know what that thing about. Anti-Semitic is languages. Anti-Semitic means you're against languages. And technically, that has developed into something that's not totally what it really was. Now, what I think Kanye West should do is move, is being that he's in an economic status, he should move on and move forward. All those that he, all his homies back home in the neighborhood, Kanye, send them postcards and stay away from it. Move on. Do like Michael Jordan. Move on.
Nobody, but you know what? Nobody wants to deal with him anyway. They are like,
yeah,
people
yeah.
have written him off. A lot
now
of
somebody to deal with him. He, there's businesses that have worked with him because he brings a large following.
Yes, he does.
He has, he's marketable. He's marketable.
Yes. Okay, Phil, are you upset with Kanye West?
I think the guy's nuts to begin with, so it doesn't surprise me what will come out of his mouth. And it's, you know, here's the thing. There's no place for anti-Semitism anywhere. And once you start down that path, and the moment you say something anti-Semitic, you are done. And
sure.
now you got all these people, you know. Now you have all these people, you know, backing out of him because of what he said. No, there's just no place for it.
And Sean,
well, what did he, what did he say?
What?
I never did find out what he said.
Sean Black will explain.
Okay. Well, Kanye West was on, I believe he was on Drink Champs. I believe that was literally what Kanye West was doing in an interview, and he was talking about how I forgot the exact comment that he made, but it had something to do with Jews being in control of media, movie theaters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The normal stereotype that you hear about the Jewish community. And he doubled and tripled down on it. And even during the interview on the Drink on Drink Champs, he basically stated, and he kind of like poked the bear, because he has, from we all know that he's bipolar and he doesn't take his medication. He said that it curbs his creativity. He stated in the interview, "I can say anti-Semitic things, and literally nothing will happen to me. People will still buy my stuff, products, etc."
Which
and,
is true. I believe it.
And literally as he was saying this, a lot of the companies that heard this interview, when he doubled and tripled down, then were like, what are you talking about? You're not going to spew any of this anti-Semitic stuff and expect us to continue to put money into promoting you. And he lost a ton of sponsors. He's lost a lot of things back and forth. And even before the interview, he got into a lot of trouble at his Balenciaga fashion show, where he was demonstrating his clothing line with Candace Owens, and on the back of it read "White Lives Matter." Now, for whatever people their opinions may be of the Black Lives Matter movement or whatever was the case, the White Lives Matter logo has been used thousands and thousands of times, and this is something that the FBI has brought up as a mantra for white supremacist groups throughout social media and throughout the world online. And this is something that turned a lot of people off because he was using this on his clothing line. And that was actually shown on social media, which also got him in a lot of hot water, and a lot of African-Americans really got upset about that. And the reason why, a lot of people thought that this was dangerous is because as the caller stated before, Kanye West brings a lot of attention, a lot of money, and a lot of dollars. But what he also does is he brings in a lot of money and dollars from young white males that actually listen to his music, and that's a huge demographic of his. And whether he's doing it on purpose or he doesn't realize to the exact breadth of what he's doing, whatever is the case, he basically took a stick to the hornet's nest and banged it across the tree.
You know,
and that stirs up a lot.
You mean he does like Michael Jordan said when he said Republicans buy underwear too in his advertisements for Hanes. You mean to tell me that back in 1995 when you had Abraham Foxman, who was the head of the Anti-Defamation League, he called around and told black preachers, black pastors, not to let their congregation go to the Million Man March in Washington, D.C. I mean, it goes on and on. And, you know, here's another thing. Do your research. Do the research at some of these media companies and newspapers, and you can do it on, like, Yahoo Finance and go into the insiders and look at the names.
Okay.
Look at the names.
I have another caller, 612. Are you on the air?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay. Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yo, Nas?
How do you feel about Kanye?
Well, I mean, I think some of the things I disagree with, but to that point about the Jewish aspect, I don't think he said anything that wasn't factual. I mean, when it comes to the fact that there's a large majority of Jews that are in the entertainment media and the banking world, I mean, that's just a reality. It's not a stereotypical statement. It's just a simple statement of fact. And what he was talking about, if you see that Drink Champs argument, was that how Jewish people can like collude in certain areas to, when his opinion, affect artists and take advantage of what he thought about people being took advantage of them. And I mean, that's his perspective. I can't tell him that he's wrong. If that's what he feels like happened to him, that's his opinion. But the fact of the matter is there are Jews that are all that control the entertainment industry, and you can't deny that.
True. I'm not disagreeing with you, but you cannot say some things now, especially as a black person. You know, people have been backlash in Hollywood for saying things.
You know,
like
we live in a sensitive society now. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, but why? You know, why do we have to live in a sensitive society?
Yeah.
You know, another thing too.
This is a whole different generation now. That you know,
a softer generation.
And the sad thing is that when it comes to social media, and I stated this before, people live their entire lives through social media. You know, it's like, okay, let's just say social media runs everything. And it's like everything right now is becoming an issue. Whatever you say could become a bigger issue than anything else. They could turn it into a big issue. It could explode.
Right,
sure.
And that's why it's so good that Elon Musk bought Twitter. That'll address that problem right there, right off the top. Him buying it has been a terrific solution.
Well, the problem with social media in general, in my opinion, you could say two words, and a few people in social media could twist it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
you didn't
what
mean
I meant.
It that way. You know, it's like...
You fellas, you know something
else. Guys.
You know something else, fellas, and I'm going to get ready to leave. You know this thing about Jews. You know there's two Jews. There's Jews the religion, then there's Jews the club. And when you're talking about the ownership and that you're speaking about, you're talking about the club. Just like the Mormons, just like the Nigerians, just like the Tuba, the Senegalese in this country who is business savvy, they're called Tuba. That's what they are. Did you know that Castro was a Jew? He was a Moreno. He was Christian by day and Jewish by night. So that's what you got. You got a group of business people that is in capitalism, and they use that Holocaust instance as a shield. And here's the thing, too. They can be taken. They can be defeated. Who controlled the garment industry in New York? It's the Asians. How did they get it? They took it from the Jews. That's the way it goes. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys go. I really appreciate the opportunity. You guys,
thank you so much.
Safe.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
Thank you
so much. Have a good night. Wow. All right. Phil, anything you'd like to add on to this?
You know, whether you like it or not, the Holocaust did happen. It's proof. I mean, there's proof of it all over. I mean, come on. I mean, we know that I won't disagree where a lot of the Jewish people, you know, they do own a large chunk of, you know, in the entertainment industry. A large chunk of your doctors are Jewish, lawyers, Jewish. But, you know, that doesn't, you know, it's still. He went and opened up his mouth. He got himself into hot water. And then
here's my problem with this overall. I'm not agreeing with Kanye West entirely, but once again, as a black person, you cannot say anything, cannot do anything, because Kanye West says something about the Jews, he loses all this sponsorship. But the people who bought kids to rape kids from Jeffrey Epstein, who have them on records, you don't hear a peep from them. No one went to jail. There's no consequence whatsoever. Explain that logic to me, Sean Black. How people who have done crime like that are getting away with it, while a black man like Kanye West is being losing everything, give or take.
Well, I'll give you one thing. We definitely know that there are a lot of things that are off kilter when it comes to where justice should and shouldn't be. But before anybody talks about the whole Epstein part, we all know what happened with him. Everybody knows what's going on with Harvey Weinstein, which we've talked about as well. He's sitting in jail now and has another trial coming up at some point. We know in a lot of instances that justice doesn't always swing equally and for the right people, for who they're supposed to be, for whatever they've done. The issue is when we also start, because of social media, adjudicating these kinds of cases through social media instead of actually getting the facts. And the problem is we're now in a society where facts, science, proof are all it's poison for people. If I can
I can
give you 15,000 facts that proves not just my point, but just proves these things actually happen. Somebody can take one wrong part of that, put that on social media, and that one tweet will get 500,000 followers because they're doing a lot of that. Kanye West, one of the things that he said in that Drink Champs interview was he, because now he's getting sued by the family of George Floyd, because he literally stated, which this hasn't already been proven, he said that George Floyd died of fentanyl. Although they found fentanyl in his system, that was not what killed him. What killed him was asphyxiation from a knee to his neck. And that is what killed him. And using those kinds of quotes, when you are a celebrity and you have 35 million followers, 20 million followers, et cetera, and you very irresponsibly state certain things that you don't say are your opinion, and you just say that it's fact, that's the dangerous part of social media that has to be curbed, because now we have seen over the years, especially within the last 2 or 3 years, the things that have happened not only politically, but also on personal levels with people that aren't in the TMZ sphere. They're not celebrities. They're not politicians that have gone through things that have happened through social media and have had consequences because of those kinds of things happening.
Well, Sean,
but it all comes down to who you offend, though. That's the thing that we're missing out on that. So you're allowed to say certain things controversial if it doesn't go against the established order. The established order means the government hierarchical system, the corporations, those who are in power. If you're not a threat to them and what they're doing and calling out what they're going on with them, they don't mind. You can say whatever. There's other people that have said stuff about Jews and things of that nature. The issue with Kanye is that he's taking a political position that goes against the government narrative. That's the point. So when it comes down to what you can and can't say, it doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter where you who you are, where you're from. The issue is, what you're saying going against a certain narrative that is being put out there by certain people for certain reasons. You talk about when people question facts. Let's talk about this question of facts. Facts in and of itself has become a subjective thing, meaning by that, you can cite something and say it's a fact, like people did during the pandemic, and they can say, whoa, X amount of people died, the vaccine does this and this, and then you do a little bit deeper diving and you find out that the actual people who put together certain studies or put together certain facts, you come to find out that they had a faulty motive behind it, meaning they had an incentive for financial gain, or there was some type of corruption, or some people were genuinely involved in trying to have people get hurt through, you know, blood clots and things of that nature. So we came to understand the idea of something being a solid fact is no longer true anymore. What it comes down to is, are you offending the government or not? That's it.
Well,
the government has certain agendas that they want to push, like the LGBT. They want to push abortion. They want to push effeminate men, you know, the effemination of men. They What they're trying to get is the subjugation of the world. No, this is the reality. And the issue with Kanye is Kanye is pushing against that. But go ahead.
No, you might offend some people. Don't go there. Don't talk about LGBT.
No, because you know what it is? Because I'm going to give you an example with all of this that was being said. And this is why, and Hot Rod and Sean and Phil have heard me say this many a time about social media. I think that social media right now, unfortunately, people are using it as a way of living. People are using it as, you know, that's a whole conversation, because you look at society now, with social media, everybody's on their phones. People don't, you know, you could go out with somebody and you're not talking to the person anymore. Because guess what? People are pulling out their phones and they're looking at things on their phones.
Well, Sean, I'm sorry, kiddo. I'm sorry, kiddo. Go ahead. Continue.
But you know what? It's like this. Like now, with all of this on social media, you know, people are using social media platforms to voice out their opinions. And like I said
that's
before,
where we get information from. That's where we get news from now.
And this is what happens. And that, yeah, you're getting news from, wow, social media? Come on now. And when you, okay, you might have someone who may be part of a political party, and you could be of a different political party. You might not agree with that person. And people have their own point of view about a subject, and you might meet someone else who have a different point of view about the subject, like when it comes to the LGBT. Some people, and, you know, you'll find it, I could correct me if I'm wrong, you'll find out some people who are deeply religious who will disagree, and some who are not quite religious who will agree and say, leave them, you know, and you know, give them what they want. And you might find some that will say no. That will cause a conflict right then and there.
Well,
understand, it's all about what's going on. Yeah,
and Sean, I'm not saying this on purpose about your personal life, but to your point, Kato, I explained to Sean, like, when he's dating, you need social media, you need platform now to date, because people don't go up to you like, hey, you don't meet people in bars or restaurants.
And that's the problem.
Everything is
you don't even know the person.
I have, I have this one lady friend who probably went maybe 50 dates. So far in the last couple of years, like, you've been through all these dates, and you have not find the right man yet? No, either they're jerks or this and that. Now, where you meet these guys?
You don't know the
online person
who you're dating.
And when
you
they go on dates, they don't get to know each other no more, and that's a problem.
No.
Because, well, like I told Sean, he needs social media because they need to, when they look you up, they need to know what you've done on Twitter, what you've done on Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera, because
and this is ridiculous. This is the stupidity of it.
Oh.
And that's the breakdown of society that they did intentionally. That was put in place. Think about it. Well, what you see today in America, this is not normal. This is not the normal dynamic between men and women. This is not the way culture is supposed to operate. Everywhere else in the world, if you go to Africa, you go to Europe, you go, I'll say Eastern Europe, you go to Asia, you go to South America, men and women interact the way they have for thousands of years, meaning the man is the lead and the woman submits. Right? I'm not saying submit like a slave. I'm talking about she lets the man take the lead. You hear my point on why I'm saying this.
I understand what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah, you feel what I'm saying. But, like, the reason, this is done intentionally for a reason. Why is that? In order to subjugate a population, especially one like America, you have got to weaken the men, flat out. Without weak men, you cannot subjugate a society. So what we're witnessing for the last 30 years is a continual sigh out of propaganda and indoctrination through the media, through education, through social media, all designed to weaken and make men effeminate, break down the family because men aren't leading anymore. You got single mothers running around raising their children that don't know how to act, and we're seeing it today, the repercussions of that. This has all been planned out. This is why Christianity, by the way, has been rejected society-wise. Because if you remember what America was like in the 70s and 80s and now, this is a society that's rejected.
Any, you know what it is? And, and not to cut you off, you have to look at it
like this.
Look at the sad thing. Modern technology done jacked up everything. Do you agree?
Well, 100%.
Yes. But to the caller's point, I remember an episode of Bill Maher on HBO, how, you know, let's say 1970s, like 30% of the population were gay. And somehow through propaganda and media, it keep growing and growing and growing. By year 2050,
and through the chemicals that they put in the food, by the way. Let's not forget that. That's the reason why men's testosterone is going down.
Of course. So by 2050, we all going to be gay at some point.
Hell no. Listen, I am a woman lover, and I will love women. I don't give a damn. I love women. Even if I'm the last straight man on earth, I love women.
This agenda, we're not going to see the full effect of it. It's going to be our children and our grandchildren that will be brutally subjugated.
That's the scary.
They're not going to be lightly, but they're going to be under a police state that will rule them with an iron fist. And this is the thing you have to understand. Unlike every other, you know, totalitarian government that had in the past, like we saw under communism and in different countries around the world in the 20th century, this time it's going to be so technologically advanced, there will not be a resistance against it. Everyone will have to go with it. There won't be a way to fight it. Because in the past, people were able to rise up and throw off and, you know, overthrow a government. That won't be able to happen this time. And I don't know if you guys are religious at all, if you've read the Bible, but if you've ever read the book of Revelation, that's literally what we're headed towards when it talks about a one-world government that puts in a system in place that you have to receive a mark in order to buy or sell. And unless you pay homage to the system and those who rule it, you won't be able to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't remind you what we saw during the pandemic and what clearly our government is trying to achieve and what we're seeing worldwide, that's what it's headed towards. It's clear as day. We're headed to a police
state.
It's unavoidable.
All right.
Amen,
so
brother.
Anything like to add on before we head out?
No, I think that we pretty much tapped out on everything so far.
Yes, sir.
But Go ahead.
No, there's one thing I want to add on real quick to everybody's point. This story came to my mind, and I told Sean Black this story. I have a coworker, you know, and I knew he was, you know, this person is part of the community. So I asked the supervisor, how does this person want to be referred as, you know, to be correct these days? This person wants to be referred as they. Okay, no problem. I did not question it. But in my mind, like I told Sean Black, my son, who's 8 years old, in school right now, is trying to learn the English language. They, the, it, you know, the pronouns. How, I would say someone that they is going to the store is a single person, and my son is in school right now learning they as a pronoun, as a plural for two people.
Oh, my goodness.
Later to grow up to find out, like, wait a minute, they is a person? I'm like, to the caller's point, It's hard to keep making our minds all messed up. And we will continue this conversation next time, but I just find that crazy. Like, what happened to he, she? Why do pronouns have to be it, they, whatever the words are? Well, if you say
this is too much.
You're wrong.
Because they want your kids to get transgender, and if they get those operations, they got to take puberty blockers, which makes your children sterile. And what they
don't
tell
gracious.
You is your children can get these procedures without your knowledge if they tell their teachers that they identify as the opposite gender. In states like California, if your child says to your teacher, I'm talking about in elementary school, if they say to your teacher, I identify as a girl and you have a boy, without your knowledge and without you knowing about it, they can actually have them have an operation done to them without your knowledge. They can agree to have it done or even give them a puberty blocker shot. They can do that.
There's a problem there.
Heaven help us all.
That's
all I got to say.
You got to talk to me first. I'm still the daddy, right? I'm still your father, right?
That's right.
You got to talk to my dad.
And according to the government, them children don't belong to you. They belong to the state. That's what they think. They don't think them kids are yours, man. You got to understand that. That's the difference. And the only way we're going to blow this up, and I know people don't want to get political, but it's just a reality. If we don't vote Republican, we're done. And I'm not a fan of Republicans. Don't get me wrong. I'm independent. I think both sides are corrupt. But the fact of the matter is those that be, that are in power, they're letting everyone know, don't vote Republican. They want you to vote Democrat. And the Democrats are going to bring in this police state immediately. So the only thing that can slow it down is voting Republican. That's the only thing. I mean, other than that, we got no other option other than sit back and wait. And when it comes to it, you know, pray to God, hope we can survive.
Well,
that's it.
Well, that's when we all could say is, I told you so. We all knew this. We all knew this day was coming. But, Carla, thank you for your great insights tonight. Sean
sure.
Black,
thank
Phil,
you for your time. I appreciate
K-Dog, guys, thanks so much. We have a good show tonight. Thank you all. See you in 2 years. Sean got my inside joke about that one.
Yeah.
Till next time. Stay safe.
Stay safe,
have
guys.
Good
night.
Good night,
it was all yours. Happy Halloween, guys.
Happy Halloween.
Oh,
my goodness.
Who celebrated that crap? Wait a minute. Phil, did I say nothing about no sports update, Phil? You didn't give us no score?
No, I'm only watching.
First of all, all I know is when my brother's got the football game on. Last I checked, it was 18-0 Cleveland. But once you put me on the air, I went up to my room where.
It's actually 32-13, killing them.
Oh, okay. Not for better now that Phil gave me a score or something. Good night.
Yeah, 32-13.
Good night.
Grief.